This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lowe Tullis, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You know too much about my music. You just know too much. You know that, right?
Consequence Podcast Network. Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Hey, thanks as always for making your way here and checking out the series. I hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out. I have 3 brand new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover the new ones. You can do so at Spotify, at Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of my recent guests have included Paul Rogers of Bad Company and Free. I had The Kills, the folks behind the movie Pain Hustlers on Netflix. We talked to Boy Named Banjo, Japanese House, Brandon Flowers of The Killers, Chris Shiflett of The Foo Fighters, Liz Phair, Sarah Silverman, Courtney McBroom from Lessons in Chemistry on Apple TV+, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, Felicia Day, Susan Tedeschi, Josh Radner from How I Met Your Mother, Kristen Hirsch of Throwing Muses. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today. So excited to have one of my songwriting heroes back on the show, Art Alexakis of Everclear. The band just released a new live album. It's called Live at the Whiskey A Go-Go. We're going to talk about that. In fact, so much happens in this conversation. Art tells us, first off, that he's sort of done with making albums, that he's kind of concentrating on live records, on singles, on EPs, things like that. But because of the live album, especially coming from a tour that celebrated the band's 30th anniversary, it was recorded last year, that gives us a chance to kind of go through the band's history. I want to talk about the narrative that he's written throughout his catalog that seems to tell this much bigger story, self-referential lyrics, Easter eggs for the longtime fans. He'll give us the backstories on tracks Father of Mine, Local God. Of course, that one was written for the Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet. Why Nervous and Weird and Fire Maple Song, both from their debut LP, World of Noise, still resonates with him. Now, the live record also includes 2 new studio cuts that are placed at the end, Year of the Tiger and Sing Away. Sing Away is re-recorded, was on his solo record, now it's got the full band version. And the music video for Sing Away features his own daughter. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about sort of how generations consume music these days. I'll ask about his penchant for writing for the youth. I mean, when you think of songs like Father of Mine and Wonderful, you know, he's always writing sort of about the, I would say always writing, but he has a talent of writing about the hardships of being young, which comes from his own experience. So we're going to hear about that as well. And then further on, we'll hear about the future plans. That includes maybe in the future, deluxe editions of Sparkle and Fade and Songs for an American Movie, both coming up on some big anniversaries, and more about the types of new releases that he's looking forward to making. All that and even more, if you can believe it. We're talking live at the Whiskey A Go-Go It's Kyle Meredith with Art Alexakis of Everclear.
Hey, Kyle. How you doing?
I'm well. It's great to see you back on here. And
it's good to be back.
Yeah, and so much fun. I should just throw the compliments actually at the beginning here, because the new live album, you know, sometimes a live album is just sort of like a stopgap, and it's like, oh, that's fun, and you go back. But I think I've listened to this live album already a dozen times and just love the absolute set that happened. So first off, it sounds great. Congrats on this one.
Thank you, man. It was fun to do. You know, we did it at the Whiskey A Go-Go, which in my 40 years of playing in bands, I'd never played it. I've never played, actually 45 years of playing in bands, I've never played the Whiskey. And I grew up in LA, which is bizarre.
How did that happen?
I don't know. You know, I've been there hundreds of times, been backstage, did good things backstage, did bad things backstage, had a great time, but never played there until, you know, we got the offer at the end of the 30th anniversary tour last year, and it just seemed fitting to do it there. And you know, as the universe would have it, I got reached out to by an old friend from Capitol who was at a new label called Sunset Boulevard Recordings, Records, and asked me if I wanted to do an album, an original album. I said, absolutely not. I'm done. I've done 11 albums with Everclear. I did two with the band before it, and one with the band before that. Done. You know, it doesn't mean I'm not writing or recording. We're going to put out a new song or two every year, maybe an EP, maybe a live song, maybe a cover, and a couple of new songs. That sounds like fun to me. Making a whole album didn't sound like fun. And he's like, what about a live album from the Whiskey? Because they're set up to record there. And I'm like, oh, you know, my best Scooby-Doo. And I said, okay, I'm going to record it. I'm going to pay to record it. I'll have my producer, friend, engineer, guy, Jim Kaufman, come in. And I think between the two of us, it came out great. It's raw. It's a little sloppy. It's not pro-tooled and auto-tuned beyond recognition. It's hardly at all. And I left notes. There's some not perfect notes in there. It sounds like a rock band, live without a net. What you hear is what you get.
It's interesting that you're saying that, you know, the album. It's interesting because when I was listening to this and I started thinking of it in the context of this interview, and of course, it's the 30th anniversary tour that was documented last year in December. And, you know, in this show, you play Fire Maple Song, which, of course, at that time, you were celebrating 30th anniversary of World of Noise. You know, that to me, lyric wise, that sort of is point A, the starting point of this lyrical universe that you built. That's where we get the line, now I can't smile. That's where you introduce summer, you know, within it.
Wow, man, you're going deep, you know. Do I talk about summer? Yeah, I do talk about summertime and the fall, you know, and, you know, yeah, no.
Well, that's when I'm thinking about that, you know, and because that was one of the things, has been one of the things that's always so much fun of being an Everclear fan. You know, further on, you get Local God and Everything to Everyone. We got the Stupid Dance line that kind of connects those. And you've always sort of done that. Was that intentional? Did you know that you were doing that? I mean, obviously you knew that you were recalling other lyrics at the point, but did you do it in a way that was to build this sort of longer narrative?
A universal narrative, yeah, that lives within itself. Some of my favorite writers, and you can go Kerouac, you can go, you know, Robert Heinlein, or go back as far as my favorite poet, Walt Whitman. You know, when you read Leaves of Grass, he makes connections to the body electric three or four times. He comes in there, I sing a song of myself, and then later it's I sing a song of myself in this place and in the city streets and out there, and it connects it. It has that thought that's it's like the glue that connects it, you know. And yeah, I'm not afraid to do that. I think I have license to steal from myself. I can plagiarize myself if it's within context. I think writers do that, you know, and it's fun with words, man. I'm having fun.
further on then, I mean, is that how you thought, did you ever think of it like, is that big, like, are these the same characters that's always represented in each of the songs beyond maybe the narrator?
I don't know if they're the same characters, but we're all the same characters. That, you know, we're unique and we're different in a lot of ways, but there's so many similarities. I mean, when you think about the literally tens of thousands of people who've come up to me, and I'm not exaggerating, they've said, "Father of mine, you wrote that about my life." I'm like, "No, I didn't, but I did." You know, it was a universal theme. I remember when I played that song for the first time, I'd written it at home in Portland. I was in LA to do some business, and I stopped by my A&R guy's office at Capitol, you know, the round building, and the offices of the executives are on the outside, and then the assistants or, you know, secretaries or whatever you want to call them had their desk outside the office door. And I walk in and I'm like, he's like, "So what can you tell me about the record?" And he knows he's treading on eggs a little bit, you know, because he knows I'm adamant. I don't do demos. I give you a record, you put it out. That's how it's going to work. And this is before I had a hit, right? And I was still like that on Afterglow. And he's like, "Well, do you got anything you can tell me?" I go, "I got this new song, man. I really think it's great. I don't know if it's going to fit on the record. I don't know if it's a single. It's pretty dark. You know, it's a heavy song." He goes, and I go, "Oh, you got the guitar back?" He goes, "Yeah, it's tuned up." I go, "You want to hear it?" And he's like, "Sure." He's so excited because I never play him anything. He's like, "Sure, why not?" You know, he's Brit. He's very stoic. Stoic Brit. Perry Watts Russell. And the door is open. And I play the song. And I'm singing full-throated, just singing it. And I get to the end. And he's, you know, like I said, he's like a 45, 50-year-old stoic British guy. And he's, you know, he's doing this nonsense, you know, behind his glasses. But then we hear out where his assistant is sitting, we hear this weird sound, and we walk out, and there's four young women sitting on a desk, hugging each other, weeping. "This is the best song ever." And Perry Barrett's just like, "Well, it's definitely going on the record." And then when we finished it and recorded it and mixed it, he's just like, "Do you think this is a single?" I think this is a hard sell as a single. I think it's either going to fail miserably, or I think it's going to be bigger and more important than we can think if this hits people. And it's crossed ethnic lines. I've had people from every walk of life. White, black, brown, you know, everything, every kind of gender persuasion, anybody that's had abandonment issues or distance issues with their father, and not just their father, sometimes their mother, has connected with the song. And I feel blessed to have been able to have it come through me.
And we'll be right back right after this. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I live in Kentucky, in the Midwest, and allergies, yeah, I suffer. When I say I suffer from allergies, I suffer from allergies. And around here, everyone I know deals with allergies to some degree. And for a long time, I thought it was just something that I would have to live with, which is a real problem for anything, but especially when you're a radio host. It affects my voice, it affects my mood, it affects everything. And I feel like I've tried all the medicines. Some of them work better than others, but there's never a perfect one out there, especially because some of them take forever to actually work and some of them don't work at all. And then there's Astapro, the fastest solution to nasal allergy symptoms. It's what I use now, and it's definitely changed my life. Astapro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. With all the pollen in the air, with all the dust around the corners of the house, even with the allergies I have from my dog, Astapro has been the nasal spray that has helped me with all of my allergies. And it can help you too. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. That's Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Art Alexakis of Everclear.
The great thing is, again, when you have a live album like this, you know that, you know, it's looking at 30 years and most of it's in that first 10 years. I think all the tracks come from maybe that first 10 years of the band for the most part. But it is, it's a great moment to kind of reconnect with those. Like, you have Matt Penfield. I just got done working two different weeks with Matt out here in Louisville. And as we do every summer with the Danny Wimmer festivals out here,
right.
But he introduces you guys. And I'm like, oh, right. Because Everything to Everyone, if I remember right, debuted on 120 minutes. I stayed up like I did every Sunday, but right. I especially stayed up with the VHS and the VCR because I knew that you guys were going to debut on that one. You know, it's like,
remember doing that with the radio, having it ready to record?
Absolutely. I've done plenty of times. Yeah. Way back then.
Coming up next, Everclear. You're like, I can't do this right now, you know, or whatever it is. When I was a kid, it was Cheap Trick or, you know, Zeppelin or something like that. But yeah, that's exciting, man. Now it's kind of too easy, right? It's just Siri, play, blah, 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 blah.
Way too easy. I try to tell myself, like I have a son, he's 16. And I try to tell myself is like, he's just experiencing it differently. Like, those moments still hit, and while he doesn't have to try as hard, the day before yesterday we're in the car and the Bengals version of Hazy Shade of Winter comes on, and it gets about 45 seconds a minute into it, and he looks at me from the passenger seat and he goes, who is this? And I said, it's a Bengals covering Simon and Garfunkel. And he goes, okay. And later that night I hear that song playing from the shower, and then yesterday he's walking ahead of me with his earbuds in and he's singing along to it again. Wow. I'm like, those moments are still there. He's just able to punch it up immediately. He doesn't have to work for it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't. I try to tell myself, like,
it doesn't mean he doesn't appreciate it and that it's not connecting. I get what you're saying. Same thing with my daughter. I mean, you know, I've got she's going to be 16 in like 3 weeks. So very close. Is your son a sophomore?
Yeah. He's sophomore.
Yeah, her too. So yeah, very similar. And except for the fact that yours isn't walking around with push-up tops and stuff, but I don't want to get into that. Well, you got it better with a boy. Do you have a girl too, or just a boy?
I don't. I only have my boy. And yeah,
when I'm done.
I'm a little bit grateful of that. Yeah.
You know, I love my daughters. I love being the father of a daughter, but you know, there's challenges on both sides of it. So right now we're kind of, she's killing it in school, so we can't really argue. It's just like, really, you're going to wear that to school? Really?
Now she's in the, really? She's in the video for Sing Away, right?
Sing Away, which we're going to talk about, I assume. Yeah, she's in the video as the girlfriend. And I think she, without being father's bias, which is kind of impossible, I think she killed it. I think she was great. Everybody there was blown away by her chops. And she really likes musicals, which I don't like musicals, but she does. So I'm supportive musical dad.
Isn't that cool to see, though? I mean, my son, he goes to performing arts school. He's interested in theater, and that's what he's been doing for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And you must have had a similar experience, because when, you know, he did the plays in elementary and middle, but when I saw him really come into his own on the first thing in this high school thing and walk away, it's like, who in the hell is that? And how is he able to do that?
Yeah, no, I feel the same way when I see her act. When she just acts like drama plays, it's she's got something. She really does, as I'm sure your son does, because he goes to a performing arts school. She goes to a performing arts school. It's California School of the Arts. But it's not just performing arts. It's got all the different conservatories and stuff. And she's in integrated arts, which is because her heart's in like mostly like painting. But she also likes acting. And so her conservatory is the hardest to get into because it has everything and it's got its own micro system. So it's not pulling. When they do plays in her conservatory, like she's up for one of the leads. And remember that movie, Mean Girls?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. There's you got the musical version of that. Yeah,
yeah, there's the musical version. And she's trying to get Karen, you know, the dumb blonde, which my daughter is neither, but she just said it's just she likes her songs and it's fun.
And that's acting. So that's
and there's definitely acting. Her monologue, she killed it on her monologue. But you know, it's just great to see growing up the way I did and see my children have the opportunities they have. And me going out of the way to try to make it easier for them, which is not necessarily the best thing, because adversity is what creates that fire in your belly, right? I feel like my damage and adversity and all the triggers I got from that were kind of like my motive power of like, F you world, here I come, you know? I'm learning not to rely on those triggers because they're scary to people.
Your music, you did this, you had this really great talent in a John Hughes sort of way of speaking for youth. Sometimes from the point of view, like in a song, as I hear it, like a father of mine or something like that. It's sometimes like in Sing Away, where like the fact that you're still able to do that, you've been able to do that for 30 years, you know, where does that come from? How do you do that? I mean, is that something you even know that you're doing?
You know, thank you for making the reference, because I love what John Hughes did, and people can poo-poo it and diminish it because it was 80s and it was this and it was that, but you're right. He really did have a voice on the inside and an ear on the inside to what kids were going through in that situation. The Midwest, you know, going through that, the class system, the whole thing. So for you to say that, I'm flattered. Thank you. To be honest with you, I just kind of, when I write songs like Wonderful and Father of Mine, I put myself in the place of being that kid again, because I belong to the school of therapy that those, when you have some sort of traumatic experience as a child, you're kind of frozen there. It doesn't mean you don't move on, but that little kid there is unresolved. You know, that 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 4-year-old is unresolved. And you know, in different types of like DBT therapy, dialectical therapy, CBT, you go back and you meet
you basically tried to be a parent to that kid. I say that in a song too. I got to be just like a father to you, in the song called You. I don't know if you know that song, but it's talking about my rape. It's on Black is the New Black. And I just put myself back in that place. But at the same time, I've got another ear as an adult, and I'm looking at it. You know, it's like, to me, whenever you're in a situation, you got to put yourself in the other person's experience. But at the same time, to kind of like split yourself in your and multitask and be able to have a 1,000-foot view of it at the same time. For some reason, that comes pretty natural for me.
And we'll be right back right after this. Hey, welcome to Kyle Meredith with Consequence, where we check out some cool new things happening on the Consequence Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today I get to talk to Ann Erickson, host of our new Consequence podcast, Beyond the Boys Club.
Hey, Kyle.
And congratulations on Beyond the Boys Club. Well, what can you tell us about it?
4 years ago, I started a column published on Consequence called Beyond the Boys Club. The goal was to spotlight the women making a name for themselves in rock and metal. All these artists share their passion for music and their stories of breaking barriers as women in the music industry. This fall, we're taking the conversation further in the Beyond the Boys Club podcast. The interview series will welcome amazing female and non-binary artists from across the genre spectrum to share their stories and triumphs as they follow the beat of their own drum and shake up the scene.
That sounds awesome. I can't wait to check it out. And we should all check it out because Beyond the Boys Club arrives twice monthly on Tuesdays, wherever you get your podcasts. Great talking with you, Anne.
Thanks, Kyle.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Art Alexakis of Everclear. And you know, to be fair, of course, you've written about many, many things. I mean, You're the Tiger being the other new song on this, the live album. But it feels like that's, I don't want to say it like a crutch, but it feels like that's an easy place for you to go back to. Like when you're talking, you know, trying to champion youth, trying to work through the problems, someone when they're young, like that seems like that's maybe a well that you can go to when you need to, songwriting wise.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is. But I don't think it's just relegated to that. You know, I think it's a thing that you have to be like a two-way antenna to be a good writer, you know, both inside and outside, and sometimes at the same time. My favorite writers are consciously pulling, you know, the historical value of where they're pulling their information, but at the same time, they're aware of what's going on outside of it as well, and how those two worlds will either be cohesive or clash, which is interesting all on its own, regardless, you know.
And you know, one thing that we were talking about earlier in the interview is, you know, I was saying how I loved the lyrical universe that you've created and everything. And to me, so many of these do work like concept albums beyond just one album, like that it always tells us, you know. And while albums might not be on your radar anymore, because what I would love, honestly, to hear from you one day is a rock opera. I always thought maybe that was going to happen. but even like live, like, is there a version of a live show that you could do where it sort of does that, where it tells this story, you know, of a central character, something like, do you see it like that?
You know, that's weird. I had this one guy give me a script that he wrote of a musical that created different characters and for my songs and stuff. And it really wasn't, it was kind of missing. It was ambitious and I was flattered, but it kind of missed the thing to me. I have thought about that arrogantly, I think, about creating a world within a world within all my records, you know, and doing something like that, like a musical or something like that. Even though I fucking hate musicals. Excuse my language. I just do.
Well, that's, it doesn't even have to be a musical. Like the Kinks, they just released one compilation. They're about to do part two of it, and it's just a compilation. It's greatest hits compilation, basically. But they structured it in a way where it sort of loosely tells the story of their band.
Tell the story. That's exciting. I didn't know they did that, but I would expect no less from Ray Davies. He's such a lyrical and writer, you know. He's so talented.
I don't think everybody can do that, but I think you all could do that because of, you know, the story that you've told with all these songs. Anyway, I do say that as a compliment.
Food for thought. Thanks.
Let's plant that for you. We're talking about the new songs. I do want, while we're here, talking about this live album at the Whiskey Go Go, it gives me an opportunity to ask about a couple of the older songs, my favorites. Because Local God wasn't on an album. It was on the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack. It became its own sort of hit. And it's become one of my favorite songs of all time. It's you. I'm sure you have those songs where it just starts and you feel good. And there's something about that song, whatever the genetic makeup is in that song, that just makes me feel good. And not even the Boys Are Back in Town sort of feeling of the lyrics that come along with it. It has nothing to do with that. It's just the feeling of that song. Did you write it for the movie, or what's the backstory on it?
I wrote it for the movie. So I had already started writing lyrics for a song, and I didn't know what I was going to call it. And it was already making... Like, I was using the Romeo, like, I'll be your Romeo, almost a reference. And it might have been put there by, like, Tombstone, like, I'll be your Huckleberry, right? I'll be your Romeo. Yeah. And the conflicts there within, like, patriarchal type looking at things and boys, like, boys do what we want. And some people can look at it as an anthem. Of males going, we do what we want, but really, it's kind of just like, wow, what a bunch of assholes we are, you know. I mean, pretty much. But then I got the offer to do the song, and they sent me a piece of movie that they wanted me to do it like during, and it was during the lines, and I had actually been in a couple of versions in college of Shakespeare, including Romeo and Juliet, and so I'm a huge fan of the original movie of the Bertolino. Yeah, I forget it. What's his name?
I don't know. I know the movie. I know the movie.
Yeah, and now there's a big thing that he forced those kids to be sexual and stuff. Right. Have you heard that?
Right, I have heard that. Yeah,
there's big drama about it, and those kids are in their 70s and have never been the same. And I can't believe it. So it was about a line of like, we become local gods, and the bad blood of you know, summer brings us to the place of local gods, or something like that. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And I said, yeah, I do the song. And I put that in there, and I put those lines in there because it really worked with what I was doing anyways, right? And it tied into the song. And so, and I had just heard, I was in Macy's in New York. I was in New York with my family for the MTV Music Awards that year. It was 96. And I got the offer. And that day I'd been listening to just music in Macy's, and it was like drum and bass was really big at the time, right? This is the mid-90s, and I'm like, that'd be really cool in a rock sense, you know, that kind of rhythmic with the loops and shit like that. That'd be really cool. So that's kind of where that came from. And when we turned in the song, Nellie Hooper, who was the musical director, thought it was atrocious. He goes, I'm embarrassed. This is embarrassing. He's saying, he's saying, Romeo, it's so obvious. It has nothing to do with the movie and this and this and that. And he hated it. Whereas Baz Luhrmann was like, this is fucking phenomenal. This is my favorite song on the soundtrack. I'm like, I'm going to go by what he said. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, you know, the guy.
Yeah, the guy. Right. I mean, but what a moment, too, because, you know, Sparkle and Fade, that was hidden. You got so much for the Afterglow, and that's going to become the big record that it is. You know, and you, it doesn't even have to be on your own album. I mean, you've got this other track that just becomes its own little thing out there in the world.
What was on a soundtrack on Capitol, which was my label, and because of the success
of Sparkle and Fade, and the fact that they didn't want to totally renegotiate our deal yet, they gave us an incredible deal on that soundtrack record, and it sold like 8 million records. I made almost three times the money. The band made almost three times the money in royalties from that one record than we did from Sparkle.
Wow.
From one song.
Man. Yeah. And you can't count on those moments.
Lawyers can be your friends sometimes. Sometimes.
Sometimes. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I know I have that behind me somewhere back in there, back in the old CD stacks. The other track that I was going to quickly ask, because in the live album, again, Live at the Whiskey Go-Go, you guys play Nervous and Weird as well, which comes back on World of Noise. And you, I think you even commented like how much you still loved that song.
I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs I've ever written.
What and do you still hear in that?
The swagger, man. Just the swagger in it. And just the, you know, I had been suffering from anxiety and you know, and it was related to coming off drugs and detox and all that stuff. And just like you were laying in bed and I would levitate. Because when, you know, when, I don't know if you've ever suffered from an anxiety attack, but it feels like electricity is going through you, you know, that you can't control through your whole soul and your whole body. And that's that, when I wrote that line with the swagger of that, just kind of almost like a Stooges kind of feel, Mudhoney kind of feel to that song. I loved it. I still love it. I still love playing it. And I love when it goes into the lead, and I play the lead, and it's 2-note lead. Of course, Davey plays it better than I do. But when he goes into that, and we're just swinging, the band's just swinging on it, and it's in that live version. It's right on. It's rock and roll, man. When rock and roll doesn't have to be difficult or intricate. It most of the time, it works better when it's not. You know, it's just straight from the gut, the balls, and the heart. You know. And very little from the brain. I mean, and it just, yeah, I love that song. I love playing that song. And it came out so good live that I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to put that and Fire Maple Song on the record.
Which I'm so happy you did.
Who knew? But they both came out well. But we've got about three or four other songs on it that I'd have to work a little bit to make them work. But they might show up on like a EP. Later next year, maybe one or two songs. I want to write a new song, maybe do a song from like take a song off the solo record and turn it into an Everclear song, and then maybe a cover song, and then a live song, you know, and make an EP out of that. Like a 4-song EP. I think that'd be cool.
Because I cross-referenced the set list because I realized Volvo and Amphetamine you played that night, but of course you didn't put them on the live record.
So, yeah, and Summerland.
And so, that's right, and Summerland. Yeah.
So they're there, and the drums and the bass sound good. So I can fix them up.
So that's the plan. I mean, you said that at the very beginning of the interview that you were just thinking of like one-off tracks from here. You weren't interested in albums at the moment. I mean, beyond what we're talking about right now, the things about this EP, I mean, are there other songs sitting around? Is there the Everclear vaults that you open up every now and then?
No, there's a few songs, but I would, and most of them are owned by Capitol, right? So my idea is like next year is going to be, not next year, but 2025 is going to be 30th anniversary of Sparkle and Fade, and it's going to be the 25th anniversary of Songs from an American Movie Volume 1. And I'd like to try to get them to do some reissues, remaster, you know, and put out there, you know, two or three songs here, maybe some live versions that they have, because we recorded a lot of shows that are in their vaults that are in there somewhere. So it would be cool to be able to go and do that. Whether they let me do it, I don't know. But it would be interesting, you know. But they would insist on putting it out. So I wouldn't make any money off it. So I don't know.
Maybe we can manifest something just by putting it out there in this interview into the world, make something happen.
I like it. There you go. I honestly believe that. Sometimes you have to manifest stuff by putting it out in the universe and it comes back to you. I 100% spiritual punk rocker that I am, and avid, not hippie, but I do buy into energy. I've seen it.
I'm going to tell you. I helped Sammy Hagar out because of our interview that they found a lost Van Halen song, and it's been a few instances of that. So, you know, I don't mind putting it out there. So
was it a Van Halen song or Van Hagar song?
Well, it was a Van Hagar song. Yeah, it was. Okay. It was one of the final ones for this new box set. Oh. He didn't even remember it existed. No, it's Twister soundtrack. That's what it was from.
Awesome. So, the movie Twister. The movie Twister.
There was a song that didn't make the soundtrack, and I knew about it. And, you know, here we go. So we're just putting it out there, man. That's what we're doing. Well,
I like Sammy. Sammy's a match, man. He's just a match.
He's fun. He's an extremely sweet guy and a hell of a fun interview, too. Happy to go wherever.
Dude, he just seems so grateful for the life he's had. Just embraced it all, and he's taking big bites out of everything, out of life. And man, people who are Sammy fans are fucking fans. They're just hardcore fans.
And if there's ever a guy who embodied the line, just happy to be here, that's him. Just happy to be here, man.
Yep. Happy to be a part of it, baby. I used to say that too, man. So what do you think? So what are your thoughts about this, man? I'm just happy to be a part of it, man.
It's a good mentality to have.
Yeah.
Art, seriously, the live album is so fun to listen to, and I really, really love hearing these album tracks, or these studio tracks on it. It's been awesome to talk to you again. Thank you so much for taking the time. I'm glad we got to do this.
Oh, great to talk to you. Always great to talk to you. All right, man. Take care, Kyle.
And my thanks to Art. The new Everclear live album is called Live at the Whiskey A Go-Go. You can search deeper into this series, into the Kyle Meredith with podcast, and find some of my earlier interviews with Art as well. So thanks to Art, and thanks to you for hanging out and checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out. 3 new interviews every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, YouTube for the video versions. Anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where you'll find me every weekday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows had the music of the Violent Femmes, the Beatles, Blur, Beastie Boys, Lush, Prince, Charlie Crockett, Amy Mann, David Bowie, the Fleet Foxes, Tom Waits, Neville Brothers, The Hives, The Stones, Queens of the Stone Age, Mickey Dolenz covering R.E.M., Sinead O'Connor, Fiona Apple, Kate Bush, Peter Gabriel, Mitski, Regina Spektor, Juliana Hatfield, The Cranberries, Chris Chiflett of Foo Fighters, Kim Wilde, Echo and the Bunnymen, and my interview with the filmmakers behind Expendables 4. Just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news, and you can catch me on the social media sites. The address is always the same, at Kyle Meredith. And I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I actually got hit on two Klingon girls in a hotel that was hosting a Star Trek convention.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.